You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning I spoke with Dr. Christopher Irwin about a report he co-authored called Capping Problem Gambling in NZ, The Effectiveness of Local Government Policy Intervention, which compares outcomes of communities adhering to the minimum requirements of the Gambling Act 2003 and communities enforcing stricter regulations. Dr. Irwin and I discussed the basics of the Gambling Act 2003, the severity of gambling to individuals, and the three main policy responses to problem gambling in New Zealand. How big of an issue is problem gambling in New Zealand? How many people do we know are affected?
So problem gambling in New Zealand is a pervasive and long-standing issue. There are different estimates out there. According to the Problem Gambling Foundation, they estimate about 5% of New Zealanders are affected negatively by problem gambling. However, if you look look at some of the internal research at the Ministry of Health, they put that figure somewhere around 10%.
And what are the kinds of social, mental, and health issues that are caused by problem gambling?
Problem gambling can be very destructive, both for the individual, their fauna, the community at large. The types of harm that we see include problems at work, of course, financial difficulties, problems with interpersonal relationships, and also there's a strong link between problem gambling and poor physical and mental health.
I'm wondering if you can walk us through the basics of the Gambling Act 2003, the kind of restrictions that has enforced.
So Gambling Act 2003 was really the first national effort to restrict the number of pokies that could be with any one pokey establishment. So what it did is it capped the number of pokies to 18 per venue if you were grandfathered in, you know, if your licenses had been granted before a certain time period. Thereafter, it was capped at 9 per venue. So that was the major part of the Gambling Act 2003. But second, and what our study focuses on, is that it required territorial authorities to make an official policy regarding pokies in their local communities. So, for example, territorial authorities were free to just stick with those national baseline regulations that were set forth in the Act, or they could go above and beyond and implement various types of stricter policies.
And so your report shows that these tighter policies can reduce problem gambling. So what do these policies look like?
Well, there are essentially three policies going above and beyond those baseline regulations in the 2003 Act. The first one is just setting a number, just setting an absolute cap, right? We want no more than X amount of pokies in our community. The second type of approach is saying, well, we're going to set a certain number, but we want to base that on the population. So they may say, oh, we want no more than 200 pokie machines per 100,000 residents, for example, and I'm just pulling that sort of out of the air. And so that way, if the community grows in population, we're going to allow some more machines to come online. And if the population decreases, then we're saying we probably don't need as many machines now since there are less people. The third policy, which I think is probably the strictest in terms of the three, is called the sinking lid policy. And what this does, it's sort of a more of a long-term strategy, but it's meant to eventually completely eliminate pokies from the community. And the way it functions is that it doesn't permit the transfer of pokie machine licenses. So as an example, if a local district implements a sinking lid policy, then the current number of pokie machines becomes our cap. And whenever there's some sort of disruption, as in a pub or a club closes or wants to move locations, then they're essentially forfeiting those pokie machine licenses. And that initial cap comes down permanently by the amount of those machine licenses that were forfeited. So essentially, every time a business closes or moves, the cap is getting lower and lower and lower. So you could imagine the quicker the sort of churn in that industry, in that community, you know, the more businesses are sort of closing or moving, then the faster that we get to zero. But really, this is meant as sort of a kind of a slower but more aggressive strategy in a way.
Have you found that community members are involved with what their local authorities are implementing?
Yeah, and I certainly hope so, but that's not something that I could speak to very knowledgeably. I know organizations like the Problem Gambling Foundation, they are more in touch with connecting the community to policymakers, and I know that they've made some efforts in that space. But for myself, I'm not sure, but I certainly hope that the community members do have input to their local policymakers.
And why do you suppose there's still a number of local authorities that aren't cracking down harder on problem gambling in their areas, that aren't adopting the sinking lid policy?
I mean, there's different possibilities, and I think that's a tricky question. There's always the possibility that you're in a community where the community isn't demanding that there be less pokies. I'm not sure how prevalent that is in New Zealand. I'm not very knowledgeable on that topic. There's also a lot of politics involved. But what I would say for our research, we really try not to wade into the political, those tricky political questions. Yeah, I think that's about all I can say about that, unfortunately.
That's all good. Do you have any closing statements you'd like to make about the report?
Yeah, I guess I would say that I think it's really easy to put issues like problem gambling on the back burner, especially now when you know, the news cycle may be dominated by COVID-related matters, but it's important to recognize that there's still many individuals and many communities out there suffering and struggling with problem gambling. And I think what our report does is it really provides sort of a menu of options for local communities to consider. We lay out what's been done and how effective it's been in terms of reducing the availability of pokie machines, and more importantly, reducing the amount of money that's lost at those machines. And so we just hope that local policymakers and those in local communities will take a look and see if perhaps one of these solutions is fitting for their own communities.
That was Dr. Christopher Irwin. If you're interested in reading the study, you can find it on workresearch.aut.ac.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.